Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, number to call up as always. It's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Jam-packed show coming your way today. The one and only Harold Reynolds will be a guest on our show from the MLB Network in hour number two. The opening of the Major League Baseball season is about to unfold. Obviously, there's a lot to get into with him. Got to talk about my Yankees. Got to talk about the Dodgers and how unfair competition appears to be in Major League Baseball with all the money they throwing out to get whoever they want. And then you get your money deferred and all of that other stuff. So definitely going to talk to him about a lot of things going on in Major League Baseball. Make no mistake about that. We'll definitely touch on that. Plus the NCAA tournament, just a day or two away from some competition that's taking place. I can't wait for St. John's to go up against Duke. I can't wait for Arkansas to go up against Arizona. I can't wait for Michigan State to go up against UConn. All of those things are things I'm looking forward to tackling as well. Of course, Tiger Woods made some noise, showed his face, showed up at the TGL tournament. Obviously, they lost, and a lot of speculation about what Tiger's going to do or whatever. I'll be talking about that as the show progresses, along with some NBA action as well. But the first order of business is the firing of the coach at the University of North Carolina, the one and only Hubert Davis. After five seasons at the helm for the Tar Heels, Hubert Davis was relieved of his duties by the school yesterday, bringing a conclusion to a tumultuous week after the Tar Heels' stunning loss to VCU in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Remember, they had a 19-point lead. They lost the game. They let them come back, lose to VCU in overtime. And as a result, North Carolina, for the second straight year, is out in the first round after not making the tournament 2 years ago. So the last 3 years, they haven't had a lot going on while Duke's been to a Final Four or whatever. Here's my attitude. John Shire for the Duke Blue Devils got Hubert Davis fired. That's how I look at it. Hubert Davis is out because of the job that John Shire is doing over there at Duke. You're number one ranked team in the nation. You are got 30-plus wins. Not only that, you've been to a Final Four. You haven't won a national championship yet. I get that part. But you've been relevant, and Mike Krzyzewski walks away, and in the time that he's been gone, Duke hasn't missed a beat. We're still waiting for a national title, but that's about it. In the case of Hubert Davis, he had 5 years. He still won 70% of his games, four NCAA tournament appearances, 2022 Final Four, lost in the national championship game, his first year at the helm, went to the Sweet 16 a couple of years later, had a regular season title and a Coach of the Year title on his resume, but nevertheless paled in comparison to what John Shire is doing at Duke. What's he doing at Duke? There's no way around this. I think that's the reason he's gone. Now, there are other people that's going to bring up other reasons. We saw the AD, athletic director at North Carolina, Bubba Cunningham, right? We appreciate all that Hubert has done for Carolina as a player, assistant coach, and head coach, and community leader. He has helped make special memories we will never forget. This was not an easy decision because of Hubert's tremendous character and all he has given to the program. But we must move forward in a way that allows our teams to compete more consistently on an elite level. That's according to the athletic director for North Carolina, Pete Thamel of ESPN. Might have put it a little bit better when he was asked to speak about why Hubert Davis was fired as the coach at the University of North Carolina despite winning nearly 70% of his games. Listen to Pete Thamel explain it.
It was fairly clear for a few days they were going to get to this point where he was no longer the coach. The fact that they had to fire Hubert Davis is significant. It showed, and he said in his statement, that he wanted to return next year. North Carolina is a place that prides itself on a pristine image, and firing one of your all-time great players and a longtime loyal coach and assistant coach is a difficult thing. How did we get here? Simply put, Hubert Davis won a lot, 70% of his games. He just didn't win consistently enough at an elite level. They said that specifically, Bubba Cunningham, the AD, did in the press release. So moving forward for Hubert Davis, back-to-back losses in the first round ended up being his undoing. They wanted to be consistently great, and he was just consistently very good.
Consistently very good. That's a good way of putting it. He's certainly not a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm sick and tired of people underselling what the hell Duke, North Carolina means. This is one of the greatest rivalries in sports. I think the best rivalry in all of college sports. I put it ahead of Michigan, Ohio State. I put it ahead of Alabama, Auburn. I put it ahead of all of that. Duke, North Carolina. That's what it's all about. And let me tell you something right now. Ladies and gentlemen, they're 8 miles apart. I mean, they go to the same clubs. They fight over the same honeys. I'm just keeping it a buck with you. I'm just giving you the truth. You can't have a situation where Duke's the number one ranked team in the nation and Carolina's hovering around 17 to 20. You can't have Duke going to Final Fours and Carolina going home in the first round. When you got all Americans going all over the place, when you have a John Shire having the top recruiting class in four of his five seasons as head coach, for the last 4 years, three of the last 4 years or so, as the head coach for the Blue Devils, you can't have Carolina hovering around 10 or 15. You got to be the dude. It's just no way around it. And that wasn't Hubert Davis. John Shire takes over for Mike Krzyzewski. The man has been, the last 3 years, his first 3 years, he is 27-9, 35-4, and this year, 34-2. His first year, after succeeding Mike Krzyzewski, who had lost in the Final Four to North Carolina, by the way, in 2022, John Shire goes to the second round, loses. Then he goes to the Elite Eight, loses. And then he's in the Final Four last year, lost. He's progressed every single year. Every single year. There is nothing here that says he's gotten worse. He's climbing. And every time you hear about All-Americans, they come in there. Now, Hubert did go out and get Caleb Wilson this past season. And Caleb Wilson, if he wasn't hurt, they beat VCU. I get that. And then when you take into account some of the cats that he's got coming to North Carolina, had an All-American last year. This year, this more of expected, it was the same. You got Dylan Mingo, number 9 recruit in the country. You got Maximo Adams, number 21. And then you got this cat, Malloy Smith. Kenny Smith's kid. Now, I'm of the mindset, Kenny Smith don't want to hear this. And I've said I'm going to say it again. I think Kenny Smith should be the next head coach for the University of North Carolina. I think Kenny Smith walk into your room to recruit you. So I understand the age of NIL and transfer portals and all that. Kenny Smith walks into your house to recruit your kid. I think he got a good chance of getting them. That's my personal belief. I really, really feel adamant about that. But back to Hubert Davis, this decision, as much as I hate it for him, it had to happen. Because John Shire just appears to be on another level. North Carolina versus Duke. Last 4 seasons since John Shire became the head coach for the Blue Devils. North Carolina is 39th in the NCAA, winning 69% of their games. Duke is at 84%, second best in the NCAA behind Houston. Second best record over the last 4 years behind the Houston Cougars since John Shire. They've won 83% of their games. North Carolina's won 68% of their games. They've got 2 ACC regular season titles to North Carolina 1. They've got 3 ACC tournament titles to 0 for North Carolina. They're 10-3 in the NCAA tournament over the last 4 years. Carolina's 3-3. And the furthest Carolina's gone in the last 4 years is a Sweet 16, whereas Duke has been to the Final Four. I mean, what do you want to say? when Matt Doherty stunk up the joint as head coach for the North Carolina Tar Heels for over 3 years. We didn't know if this program would ever recover. North Carolina goes out and gets Roy Williams from Kansas, one of their own, who's an assistant coach under Dean Smith, who attended North Carolina. Oh, he comes back from Kansas after having success at Kansas and wins not one, not two, but three national titles and goes to five Final Fours in his 23 years. Right there battling nip and tuck against Krzyzewski. That's what we saw Roy Williams doing. I'm not talking about head up, because sometimes you're going to win and lose those rivalry games. I'm talking about what your program is and what it represents. That's not what Hubert Davis did. And that's why he's out as head coach. Now, there's going to be some names coming up, no doubt. Roy Williams is retired. Talk about keeping a program within the family, which is what the Tar Heels are prone to do. Like I said, you go the Kenny Smith route. But things have changed in Chapel Hill, as it has in the landscape of college sports overall. And as a result, what has happened is we find ourselves looking at a situation and saying, okay, why don't you go outside the program? They're bringing up names like Billy Donovan, not interested. Respect him, two-time national champion at Florida, good coach, been coaching Chicago Bulls in the NBA, not interested. They talk about Brad Stevens. He's the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. Why would he do that? Tommy Lloyd, Arizona. Why would he leave Arizona to come to North Carolina with what he's built? And he's got that kid Holt about to go to Arizona as well, one of the best players in the nation. They talk about Dusty May out of Michigan. Okay. It's a football school. Duke is not, or Carolina's not, but still, he's having some success at the University of Michigan. Why do that? Otzelberg out of Iowa State, Golden out of Florida. I get those part. McCaslin out of Texas Tech. I don't see Dan Hurley leaving UConn. The name to me would be Nate Oates. I said it earlier on First Take. Nate Oates, he's a dude that can depart because your football, basketball will never matter that much at Alabama. Ever. It's a football school to the core. It will never matter at Alabama to the degree that it will matter at Chapel Hill. But again, I'm of the mindset, rather than do all of that, why don't you just go get Kenny Smith? I'm looking at these buyouts. Coach Lloyd out of Arizona got a $9 to $12 million buyout if you want to go get him. Golden out of Florida got a $16 million buyout if you want to go get him. Oates out of Alabama, $18 million if you want to go get him now. If you want to wait until April 1st, it drops down to $10 million. McCaslin out of Texas Tech, that's a $10 million buyout. Dusty May out of Michigan, that's a $7 million buyout. Otzelberg out of Iowa State, that's a $4 million buyout. I'm looking at all of this, and I'm saying, okay, do what you got to do. I think it should be Kenny Smith. And if it's not Kenny Smith, I will go with Nate Oates out of Alabama to be the next head coach for Carolina. I think that's who they should pursue if they're going to go outside the family. That's my opinion. What is yours? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I got to get to another subject that I wanted to touch on. And this is involving the NBA. And, you know, the 65-game rule and whether or not it's backfiring. Now, if you don't remember, the NBA introduced the 65-game rule in order for a player to be eligible for NBA awards like League MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and, of course, the All-NBA team. They introduced the 65-game rule before the 2023-2024 season to combat the perceptions that stars weren't playing enough games. Now, obviously, we've seen injuries to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 12 games missed. Nikola Jokic, 16 games missed. Victor Wembanyama, 15 games missed. Luka Doncic, 12 games missed. Kawhi Leonard, 16 games missed. And Devin Booker, 16 games missed. We know this. But here's the reality. The rule is in existence, and it seems to be having a negative effect on the players, so much so that an agent like Jeff Schwartz spoke out against it, and whatever context matters, taking things in its proper context, stuff like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against that. I'm not against a player having a right to appeal, not being eligible for an award based on their unavailability if they had a legitimate bona fide injury to lean on to say, hey, you know what? We're in a bind. We couldn't help it. We were injured. Fine. My biggest point is, can we at least acknowledge that the reason why all of this exists to begin with is because the players messed around and took stuff for granted and tarnished the league by missing too many damn games? Can we at least do that? Can we at least do that? I think that would be the right thing to do. I think that's what you got to do. The fact of the matter is that I agree with the 65-game rule for NBA awards. Do you? Do you? I do. I don't mind an appeal process existing. You're Cade Cunningham. You got a collapsed lung, and that forces you to miss out a few games. That should not determine you making the All-NBA team or being a candidate for league MVP. But if some inexplicable reason you're sitting out games and you seem healthy and you're just sitting out games, nah, I'm not down for that. And I think that we got to pay attention to that. 888-623-3646. I am not for eliminating the 65-game rule for these awards. Because to me, the players brought it on themselves. They brought it on themselves. And anybody else who serves the role of culprit in coaxing them into doing the things that they've done to miss going to work. I got no problems with it whatsoever. Zero. Absolutely zero. So I just want to be very, very clear about that and make sure I'm unapologetic about it. Doesn't bother me at all. They brought it on themselves. And I had an interesting stat to throw by you, and I put this on First Take, my day job at ESPN every weekday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. NBA All-Stars playing in at least 65 games. Last season, did you know that 77% of All-Stars played in at least 65 games that year? 75%. Did you know that the season before, 2022, 2023, the year before the rule took precedent, did you know that only 59% of All-Stars played in at least 65 games? 59%. So that means when the rule was implemented, last season, it jumped 18% in terms of all-star player participation in regular season games. Jumped 18 points from 59% to 77%. Do you also know this? That 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, did you know that the number of all-stars who played in at least 65 games was at 92%. 92. So that means it went from the previous 10 years of 92% of all-stars having played in at least 65 games to less than 10 years later, that number dipped to 59%. You trying to tell me a whole bunch of injuries has something to do with that? Or that wasn't just guys wanting to take time off? Come on now. We were born at night, not last night. Come on now. Let's just keep it a buck. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. People will push the envelope and get away with what you allow them to get away with. And you got to be ready to bring the hammer and do anything that you could to affect their bottom line, since they're affecting yours by not participating. That's what you have to do. And my last point, on a different subject, the NBA have given approval to an exploratory committee to investigate whether or not we're going to have expansion teams in Vegas and Seattle. Yeah, you are. Because everybody knows that Seattle deserves to have a team. And if you're going to add teams, you're not adding one, you're going to add two. Which means that Vegas and Seattle will absolutely be in the Western Conference. And we need somebody in the East. two teams going to leave. Probably Memphis and Minnesota. My question to y'all is simple. Who would you want in the East if two teams had to move out of the West in favor of Seattle and Las Vegas expansion teams being in that conference? Who would you want in the East to make the East more tougher, more vulnerable? For me, the answer is easy. I want Ant-Man and Minnesota in the Eastern Conference. That's where I stand. What about you? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. So I came up with you asking three questions. Who would you want as your next head coach for the University of North Carolina? It's one. Number two, when we were talking about the 65-game rule, do you think agents like Jeff Swart and them have a point? Do you think this rule needs to be eradicated? Or do you think it needs to remain in place? It's worth asking. Worth asking. And number three, expansion. Vegas, Seattle. They would be in the West. Which teams need to move to the East? Who's that team? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your call and more in a minute.